And we thank you for the study in the book of Revelation, Lord. I know not many are teaching it, but God, you've given us the wisdom through the power of your Spirit to be able to understand what Revelation is saying and how the end times are going to come about. And so, Father, as we look at the scripture here, Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 to 19, the two witnesses and the seventh trumpet, I pray, Father, for everyone who's listening, that they would understand through the power of the Holy Spirit that you have so graciously indwelt us with, Lord. Go before us and bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this point, we are between the sixth and seventh trumpets. We're going to have the second woe, then the blowing of the seventh trumpet. Now, chronologically, the seventh trumpet brings us to the return of Christ at the end of the seven-year Great Tribulation period. It's not the rapture of the church, as some are teaching. The church is in heaven. We're with our Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the rewards have been handed out. We're preparing to come back with him to set up his 1,000-year millennial kingdom. So we're going to go ahead and get started in verse 1. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over the waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sat before the God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the Ark of His covenant was seen in heaven. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and an earthquake and great hail. Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 24, "And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Now some feel when Israel captured Jerusalem in the Six-Day War, June 1967, that it was the fulfillment of the times of the Gentiles. But you got to remember, in that Six-Day War, the Jews took back Jerusalem after the city had been in Gentile hands since the time of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, a space of about 2,500 years. I believe this was the first phase of this prophecy Jesus spoke of. The last phase is fulfilled in the Great Tribulation period. The times of the Gentiles began in 606 BC. That's when Babylon began to destroy Judah and Jerusalem. And it will continue until Christ returns to deliver the holy city and redeem Israel. We see this in Zechariah chapter 14, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. The time of the Gentiles will run out in 42 months, which is the last half of the Great Tribulation period, the last 3.5 years. Now in the Old Testament, the temple of God was limited to the holy place and the Holy of Holies. We know there is no temple given to the church. For those of you who are students of God's Word, you know the church is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That means every one of us as born-again believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul referred to this in Ephesians 2, verses 21 and 22. He said, "In whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." In the Spirit. The altar refers to the golden altar of prayer. The altar for burnt offering was in the outer court. So John is told to rise and measure not only the holy place on the altar, but also those who worship there. So the altar of burnt offering and the brazen laver are outside the temple. The altar is a picture of the cross of Jesus Christ. This is where the once and for all sacrifice was offered. It's where Christ had shed his blood. Now, when we get to a time, times, and half a time, it's speaking of 3.5 years. Where do I get that? Daniel 7, verse 25. "He," speaking of the Antichrist, "shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time," 3.5 years. These will be the tribulation saints, Jews and Gentiles that become believers during the tribulation period. So the second temple was destroyed in 70 AD, at least 20 years before John received this revelation that we're studying. The first temple we know was built by Solomon, King David's son. The second temple was rebuilt by Herod, Herod the Great he was known as. The third temple is the Great Tribulation Temple. The fourth temple will be the 1,000-year millennial temple where Christ himself will reign from Jerusalem. We understand a third temple will be built in the Great Tribulation, because Daniel mentions the daily offerings and sacrifices will be taken away in the middle of this 7-year time period. 3.5 years in from the signing of the peace treaty with Israel and the Arabs, out of this war that is getting ready to happen with Israel, Iran, Turkey, and the Arabs as they come down into Israel. Remember, Russia isn't going to want to come down into Israel. God says in Ezekiel 38:39 that he is going to put hooks in Russia's jaw and drag them down into Israel. We see this in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, about the daily offerings and sacrifices being taken away. This week of Daniel speaks of a seven-year period known as the 70th week of Daniel, or the Great Tribulation period. 69 weeks of the 70 weeks of years were completed when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey on Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago. So there's 1 week left, and that is before mankind right now as we speak. The 2,000 years since is the age of grace with God's church. So we see here two witnesses. They're going to minister during the first half of the tribulation period for 1,260 days. Their witness is related to Israel, the Jewish people, and the temple. Their whole purpose is to point the way to Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, these two witnesses are two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. In other words, they are lights in the world. Now, I thought that was interesting. I wasn't going to mention it, but I'm going to go ahead and bring it up. The two olive trees causes me to think of the vision that Zechariah had in Zechariah chapter 4, where the two lampstands are two individuals, Joshua and Zerubbabel. Joshua and Zerubbabel helped to reestablish Israel and Palestine, and they also helped to rebuild the temple. I mean, it was a hard work, and the Gentiles made it even harder, but God provided the power they needed to get the work done. Zechariah 4:6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So here, I think of Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, and it would suggest this being one of the witnesses, but then it would also cause us to think of the other witness being Moses, because they were both seen on the Mount of Transfiguration on Mount Hermon when Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. We read in Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So some believe John the Baptist could be the second witness because he was a forerunner of Christ at his first coming. Again, his life and message were similar to Elijah. Some have even mentioned Enoch as one of the witnesses. But the problem I see with Enoch, he was a Gentile. He wasn't Jewish. Here's the bottom line. I'm going to give you this as food for thought. Food for thought. You can pray about it. You can make your own decision as to who these two prophets might be. I believe Elijah is one of the witnesses, and the other I would tend to believe to be Moses. And there you have it. Pray about it. We see the word sackcloth. Sackcloth is a rough burlap type of material the prophet would wear that symbolized what? Deep mourning and sorrow. So these two witnesses are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're given incredible power to bring fire down from heaven. Again, I think of Elijah. bringing fire down from heaven, 1 Kings 18:38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. That took place at Mount Carmel when Elijah had 400 prophets of Baal killed and the 400 prophets of Asherah killed. So, does it ring any bells? They control rain on the earth and they turn water into blood. Are you thinking of anyone in particular? How about Elijah when he stopped it from raining for 2.5-3 years and then had it rain again when Ahab was looking to find him because of the drought? How about Moses turning the water to blood and then the plagues in Egypt? In the middle of the week, the Antichrist, who is now moving into power because he will reign the last 3.5 years, will get the whole world under his control. He will then destroy these two witnesses. God is going to allow him to kill them. It's a temporary victory of darkness over light, evil over righteousness, hell over heaven, and Satan over God. Satan is let loose, and God will allow all hell to break out on this planet. You see, the city physically is Jerusalem, but spiritually it's Sodom and Egypt. It's Sodom because of its sexual immorality and wickedness. It's Egypt because of its slavery and oppression. This is where Jesus was crucified. The world is going to be totally blown away to hear that these two witnesses are finally dead. And we read here, for 3.5 days, the world will see their dead bodies. Think about that. The world will see their dead bodies. This could never have happened until our day, this generation. We have internet, we have satellite, we have TV. Every person on the face of the earth will be able to see these two dead bodies lying there in the streets of Jerusalem. What we need to remember is the torment is for not living for Christ. It's for hating the light. It's for hating the light. Verse 13 tells us an earthquake took place and a tenth of the city fell. The number 10 in Scripture speaks of ordinal perfection or divine order. 7 in Scripture speaks of what? Spiritual perfection. Here we saw 1/4 of the world killed. Then we saw another 1/3 of the world killed. And now we have 7,000 more killed there in Jerusalem. Then we come to the seventh angel blowing the last trumpet. 3 events will take place. The first one, there's an announcement of victory. Verse 15. At the opening of the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. Remember that? Now at the blowing of the seventh trumpet, the revelation of God's program opens up the mystery of God, and all of God's created beings are excited because evil is coming to an end. Satan's kingdom will come to an end, and it will be delivered to Jesus. And Jesus will rule from David's throne, as was prophesied to David by the prophet. Secondly, second event, an acclamation of praise, verses 16 to 18. This revelation causes the elders, speaking of the church in heaven, to worship and celebrate the coming of Christ to earth, his second coming. Here's what blows me away. In the midst of all this, we see the rebellion of mankind continuing to the very end of that 7 years. It just goes to show that this old nature, this carnal nature we have, can never be obedient to God. It just can't. It can't. That's why we have to be born again. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged. This brings us to the great white throne tribulation. This is the judgment of the lost. Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. And that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great. Now keep in mind, it's extremely important you keep this in mind. The church has been in Christ's presence and has already been rewarded, indicated by the crowns on the elders' heads. Angels don't receive crowns. No one else receives crowns. The church is the only group that's going to receive crowns. This is referring here to the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints who will be included in that first resurrection, the rapture. They'll now be rewarded as our Lord's kingdom begins, a 1,000-year millennial reign. The third event, an assurance of God's faithfulness, verse 19. Now we see the heavenly temple and God's ark. Speaking of God's presence with his people, this is what Moses saw when he was on Mount Sinai, when God told him, I want you to make patterns of what I'm showing you. Here we see the heavenly temple and God's ark. In the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, the ark stood behind the veil in the Holy of Holies. This is where God's glory rested on the ark, and God's law, the Ten Commandments, was within that ark. It was a picture of the two of them never ever being separated. I mean, God is faithful. He keeps his promises to his people, and here John is seeing this in heaven. On the ark was a mercy seat where the blood was sprinkled on the Day of Atonement. Leviticus 16, verses 15 to 17. It took place once a year when the high priest of that year would enter into the holiest of holies behind the veil to make atonement for the people's sins. Well, here's the great news. Today, it's Christ's sacrifice on the cross that made the once and for all atonement for all of our sins. This finishes the first part of the 7-year tribulation here in chapter 11. Chapter 12, we have the final conflict between Israel and Satan as he's cast out of heaven, never to return to heaven again. Remember in Job, God asked Satan what he was doing, and he goes, going to and fro from the earth and back. He was kicked out, but he was able to go back and forth to heaven. Now he's finally kicked out permanently. And we are introduced to 7 more characters in chapter 12 and 13 as that 7-year tribulation is gone over again, but this time in greater detail. So this is what we're going to see next time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us through the power of your Spirit, God. And Lord, I just pray for those who are following and listening to these teachings, that they will understand, God. These are going to be horrific times in this 7 years. And Lord, the only way they're going to make it through is to be a born-again believer, to give their lives to Christ and not receive the mark of the beast. Because at that point, if they receive the mark, they are condemned for all eternity, regardless what they say or do. So God, go before us. We thank you for your goodness and the things you continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.